which became his more popular name from then on, and that is Nemi. She gave him the name Nemi at birth, and then later on in his youth, he became known as Nemi Pundit until his taking of sannyas. Do you speak English? Angrezi samajhte hain aap? Nahi, sirf Hindi? Okay. So, 1 minute ke shanti aapko ek sundar Hindi kitab denge. Your friend? You're your friend? Okay. So Sita Thakurani gave him the name Nemi because although she could see that he was just as beautiful and resembled the Supreme Personality of God as Krishna himself, he was only different in color because Krishna is blue, bluish, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is golden. At the same time that she perceived his brilliance, his effulgence, his unworldliness, at the same time, with motherly affection, she was worried about ghosts attacking. So, because he was born under the neem tree, and because ghosts always stay away from the neem tree because of its antiseptic and pure qualities, therefore she gave him the name Nemi to protect him. She also blessed him that he would have a long life by putting rice and other paraphernalia on his head and gave him that blessing. She brought him clothing, ornaments, all kinds of food preparations as presents for his birth. She honored his parents, and his parents also honored her. She came in a palanquin carried by some manservants and associated with her maidservants. I wanted to honor her. I didn't have the opportunity yesterday, so I wanted to say something today. So may she bless us. She has the power to bless us in Krishna consciousness. There's another pastime of her which is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which we'll discuss at another time, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came over to her house when he was already sannyasi. So we're now studying chapter 16 of Sri Jaiva Dharma. Are you all getting the fan somewhat? It's coming on you all? If you like, you can sit closer. Or the fan can go closer to them, either way. So as we discussed yesterday, thank you for coming. Dhanyavad Anikili. As we discussed yesterday, Vrajanath was expressing some doubt on our behalf. And very, very excellently, his spiritual master, Babaji Mahasaya, was eradicating those doubts. He asked, since Krishna is full of mercy, why would he make the jiva so weak that he would misuse his independence and fall to the material world? So Babaji Mahasaya said that he is full of mercy, overflowing with mercy, but he's also overflowing with pastime. And this is one of his pastimes called Srishti Leela. Leela means pastime and Srishti means creation. Without the creation of the material world, the jiva who is turning away from Krishna has no opportunity to get purified to again turn towards him. But to facilitate the jiva's progression practically and steadfastly towards becoming qualified for Krishna's servant, to be Krishna's servant, just like those jivas who were right from the beginning created or manifested or emanated from Baladev, who was the head or the root of the Tattva Shakti. They were manifest in the spiritual world. So in order to help those unfortunate jivas who turned away from him, he created this material world. He made the jiva eligible under different, desiring different past guidance to be enacted in different situations. He made the jivas eligible for all conditions, from the marginal state all the way up through Mahabhava, and for that the material world was needed. He created all the higher levels of material existence, all the lower levels of existence, from the heavenly planets all the way down to the false ego, which is the cause of unlimited obstruction to spiritual life. By trying to enjoy the material world, one meets with suffering. By turning away from the Lord, one gets enveloped in ignorance. In ignorance, he increases his attraction to sense gratification. From that attraction to sense gratification, he engages in sinful activities, which makes him suffer. As he suffers more and more, the depth of his suffering gives rise to his desire for ultimate happiness, to become free from the temporary happiness and distress, so-called happiness and distress, of this material world, and he begins to inquire where he is. At that time, Krishna arranges for the association of his saintly devotees, and thus he advances from Shraddha to Nistha, steadiness, to taste, to attachment to Krishna, to spiritual ecstasy, and then he becomes fully qualified to enter into the spiritual world. So therefore, Babaji Maharaj is explaining that this material world is important. So then, Bhagavanath asks, okay, you say that the jiva's suffering is ultimately auspicious, but the jiva is not experiencing any auspiciousness. His present state is actually very painful. Since Krishna is omnipotent, couldn't he have figured out a less troublesome path? It didn't require all the transmigration into the species. Then you become a worm and you get squashed by somebody's foot. So Babaji Maharaj explains, even the people in the spiritual world have suffering. Don't we read about Adipura, Bhakatura, the torrential rainfall created by Indra, Aristasura, so many Putana, so many big demons. So what's the difference between the suffering in the spiritual world and the suffering in the material world? Suffering must be there, because it nourishes the Lord's pastime. And because it nourishes the Lord's pastime, it gives ultimate happiness to those who are nourishing those pastimes. So what's the difference in the suffering of the two places? In the spiritual world, Krishna is the center. They have no desire for personal enjoyment. And that way they see all suffering in relation to wanting Krishna's protection and happiness. Plus, the only real suffering that they experience is the suffering of separation from Krishna, which is just another variety of happiness, of ecstasy. Whereas they're in the material world, because I'm the center, and my sense gratification is my center, therefore, identifying with this gross and subtle body, because I want to enjoy it, I have to suffer the fruits of its activities. Still, the suffering here is Krishna's pastime, the creation of this world. Therefore, it ultimately leads to the happiness of the jiva. In the spiritual world, all that so-called suffering is actually a source of the delight. Even when Mother Yasoda, in the heat of the summer, goes out the side of her house, and her Sakya, she's holding one of Krishna's toys, even though he's already gone to Mathura. He's already left Vrindavan. He's already a youth. But she takes one of his toys and starts walking through the lanes of Vrindavan. More people can't read more books. Somebody gave a big donation. I mean, not big in terms of West, but big in terms of India. And so we're going to be purchasing a few thousand of these small Hindi Secrets of the Undiscovered Self and distributing massive amounts on Janmashtami Day. So any of you who'd like to help distribute, what did I say, Janmashtami? Radhashtami. Then please do. You can just give them out to people here in front of ISKCON, Roy Bazaar, and ask them if they'd like to help with a donation, and if they don't, you just ask, or will you promise to read it? Tell them the beautiful wisdom of the soul. Tell them about our temple, just for a second. And even if they can't give anything or whatever they can give, they can have the book. So it's a mercy day. Radharani's mercy. So Vasanta will be picking them up tomorrow from Uttanasana. Krishna Velasani's husband will be distributing many, many of them. So if any of you would like to assist him or just take some yourself, by all means. And there'll be so many people on a personal path Radhasani, because it's Radhasani. I'm sorry? And Ekadasi is when?
3 days
after Radhasani. So for those 2 days, we can distribute 2,000 weekly, 2,000 books. So then Radhasani asks, what harm would there have been if the jiva had just not been given independence? Since it's his independence that made him choose the wrong thing, and then he has to go through all the species. But Krishna's omnipotent, and he gave him independence, even though he knew he would choose the wrong thing. So on that ground, can't we consider that Krishna's responsible for the jiva's suffering? So then, as I was reviewing yesterday, Babaji Maharaj explained that actually independence is a great jewel. Without independence, there's no question of love. For example, if I told all of you, you better come to my class or rest, and you don't have any choice about it, so what are you going to think? No, thanks, not coming. But because you have the independence, you're free, out of love you may come. So without independence, there's no question of love. And without love, there's no relationship with Krishna, which is the purpose of our having been created. So the independent jiva is a beloved servant of Krishna. And thus, Krishna is kind and compassionate towards him by giving him this independence. Without independence, what would we be? We would be inert matter. And that's not much fun, is it? So, just imagine for a second. Imagine yourself not existing. Can you? Not possible. So what mercy it is that Krishna created us to have a loving relationship. Our Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, gave the analogy that the father creates the child for the purpose of enjoying with the child a loving relationship. So he works very hard for the child's nourishment and schooling, so that when he comes home from work in the evening, the child runs into his arms, "Daddy!" and jumps up into his arms and may embrace and swirl around again. So then Vajranath asks, so before the next question, Babaji Mahasaya said, so how can you say false when it's actually great mercy that you have this independence? It's your fault, our fault, that we don't use it properly. So what are we given for? Just like suppose somebody's working for a transport company and he's driving a truck of the transport company, and then all of a sudden he thinks, well, I think I'd rather go to a movie. So he takes the truck to the movie, and meanwhile the truck doesn't come back to the corporation, so they send out the police and he gets arrested. So when the thing is used for its purpose for which it's given, then one is free. If not, then he gets punished. But even the punishment is because it's punishment from a loving father, just like any of you who have either had parents or are parents, punish your child only for the purpose of his rectification, so that he wouldn't get into any trouble in the material world. He concludes by saying, how can you accuse Krishna of being at fault when actually he's so merciful? His mercy is unlimited, but our misfortune is lamentable. So then Rajanath asks, okay, I accept that. So can we say then that Maya Shakti is the cause of our misfortune? Would the jivas have not to have suffered if the omnipotent and omniscient Krishna had kept Maya far away? So then Babaji Mahasaya replies that Maya is a vitiated or reflected transformation of Krishna's internal potency. You have to have the reflection. It's just like a fiery furnace, because it's a vitiated reflection, just as the Sarup Shakti gives all blessings, beatitude, beauty, mercy, love, happiness, ecstatic pastimes. The vitiated reflection is just like a fiery furnace for those jivas who, by their own desire, are not qualified for Krishna service and is made fit. This Maya, associated reflection under Krishna's ruling, makes the jiva fit for service. Just like a goldsmith, when he wants to purify the raw gold, to bring out the essence of the gold from the rock, he uses fire and he uses hammering. So in the same way, Maya acts as a fiery furnace. And an anvil, material existence is the anvil, or the plate on which the goldsmith of the modes of nature hammer the jiva to purify us and make us fit to serving Krishna. Actually, there is no suffering. Our Srila Prabhupada gives an example in one of his purports of Srimad Bhagavatam, the third canto. One of the students in school is very naughty. Like you take a rubber band and you shoot it at the next student. So the teacher says, if you don't stop this nonsense, this atrocious behavior, I'm going to hang your head on the wall and be able to see it there. So the student gets afraid, and then he starts being a good boy. So the thing is, if the student can see his head hanging on the wall, that means that he has another head to see it with, which means he's okay. So suffering is just illusion, it's not really happening. To scare us. Fear is required to save us from a more fearful situation. Again, our Srila Prabhupada gives the example that one priest, Christian priest, came to the house of he came to a village of miners. You know what miners are? They go into the mines and get what? Gold. So the priest started his sermon that if you don't worship Jesus Christ, you'll go to hell. So the workers there, they said, well, who's Jesus Christ? So they said, he's the Son of God. And if you don't worship him, then you go to hell. So they said, well, what's hell? So then he said, it's very dark and very dank, no air. So they said, well, no problem, we have that anyway. So what's the big deal? So then the preacher had to think. Okay, there's no newspapers there. No newspapers. So they were frightened into worshiping Jesus. So simply that fear was less than the fear they would experience if they went to hell. So the example here given by Babaji Maharaj is that the material world is like a jail. In jail, Maya is the jailer who imprisons the estranged jivas and punishes them. The king constructs a prison for the benefit of the citizens, the good citizens, and also for the benefit of the prisoners, so that they can gradually get out and be good, happy citizens. So then, Vrajanath asks, okay, I accept that the material world is a prison, so what are the shackles? And as I was explaining yesterday, from this chapter, Babaji Maya said, there are this iron, silver, and gold shackles of the three modes of material nature which bind the jiva. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. So then Vajranatha asked, well, how can matter, dead matter, bind the sentient jiva? Sentient jiva. So Babaji Maharaj replied, actually it's true. Matter can never touch spirit. It can never touch the jiva. But as soon as the jiva develops the desire to enjoy sense gratification and identifies with the body and mind and the false ego and some pride, by the subtle body which is made of that false ego, the false ego is actually the junction between matter and spirit. So when he becomes overwhelmed and attached to his false ego, that joins, not actually, but in his absorption, it joins his leg to the shackle. Then Vajranatha asked, what are the different kinds of conditioned souls? There are five kinds of conditioned souls, as explained by Babaji Maharaj. One with totally covered consciousness, one with slightly developed consciousness, one with developed consciousness, one with very developed consciousness, and one with fully developed consciousness. The trees, creepers, and stones, due to great offenses and sins in past life, have practically totally covered consciousness. They have hardly any sentient existence, except that they can grow towards the light, but a stone can't even do that. They're so absorbed in matter that they practically have no consciousness. But of course, some consciousness must be there, otherwise there would be matter. So then the slightly developed conditioned souls are the animals, the beasts, the insects, the birds, like that. And who have developed consciousness are the human beings. And there are various kinds of human beings, five kinds. There's the immoral atheist, which is most people today, at least. There's the moral atheist. Then there's the moral theist. Then there's the sadhan bhakta. And then there's the bhav bhakta. So most people are immoral atheists, just engaged in gross, sinful activities like the animals. Meat, wine, sex, that's their whole life. Exploiting others. Just like animals. Animals are slightly developed because they have the sentient will to quarrel with each other when they feel there's a sense of injustice. Perhaps somebody they feel hurt them or hurt their kin, or has taken their property. And some animals have a sense of the future. If I do this, this will happen. If I steal the banana, then maybe they'll... If I steal their shoe, maybe they'll throw up a banana up to the roof. Then I'll drop down their shoe. So they have some consciousness of the future. what might or might not happen. So most humans are immoral atheists. Then when they follow some Vedic injunctions, not Vedic injunctions, they just become moral. I won't hurt anybody, I won't kill anybody, maybe I'll even be a vegetarian. And then there's the moral theist. That moral atheist develops some God consciousness. And maybe he's thinking of going to heavenly planets, he's following the scriptures. And then there's those who engage in sadhan bhakti for different reasons. Either material reasons or spiritual reasons, so many different degrees of mixture. I'm doing sadhana bhakti so I can have peace of mind. That's a mix of karma mishra bhakti. And then when he is fully developed, when he enters the stage of bhava bhakti, and he actually has visions of the Lord, and then he's no longer conditioned when he's situated in prema bhakti, and then he becomes, at that time he's as qualified as the associates of the Lord in Vaikuntha and Goloka Vrindavan. Vrindavan also asks, what is the difference between Maya and ignorance? Maya is inert matter, a power, Babaji Mahasaya answers. Maya is a power of Krishna. And Krishna has created the material universe through this power. And it is Krishna himself who instigates this Maya Shakti to work in such a way that the jiva becomes gradually purified. So Maya has two aspects. Avidya, or ignorance, and pradan, which means the material ingredient. Avidya, or ignorance, is related to the jivas themselves, because ignorance can't be experienced by matter. So it's the jiva who's in the ignorance. Whereas pradan, the other aspect of Maya, is related to inert matter, because pradan is the material element. Now tomorrow, in our last discussion of chapter 16, we'll discuss pradan, or how the material world is gradually developed. And if we have time, oh no, actually we won't have time because tomorrow is the week of Saptami. Huh? It is. Oh, it's not tomorrow. Alright, so tomorrow we'll finish chapter 16 and hopefully begin chapter 17. Then the next day we'll have a discussion about Lalita Devi, and then the next day we all go to Mathura. In the morning, and then we come back for a big festival here, where so many people will come and will be the hostesses and the hosts of so many guests. Are there any questions?
Is it
What makes you think that Balaram has a Maya Shakti? Maya belongs to Krishna. I never read anywhere that Balaram has a Maya Shakti. I don't even know how to answer it because I've never read it anywhere that he has a Maya Shakti. Nor have I ever heard it from Prabhupada or Gurudev. Louder? A rebellious what? Independent soul. Were you here yesterday? She's asking, do the souls who Baladev manifest directly in Goloka Vrindavan, do they also have independence? All souls have the same quality, but they never have ever considered misusing their independence to the slightest degree. They're fully using their independence to the point of being mad for Krishna. And that's why they're qualified to be manifest by Baladev in the spiritual world. Babaji Maharaj explained, first he talked about, in this chapter, he talked about the innumerable jivas who are manifest either by Balaram or Mool Sankarshan or Mahasankarshan and Vaikuntha. And for them, their life is love alone, and they have the protection, the shelter of Chit Shakti, which gives them the strength to be steady in their devotion. And then he says that the jivas who came from Karanadakshaya Vishnu, they have the same quality. But because they have a tendency to misuse their independence, and therefore they're put closer to Maya, first comes independence. And therefore they're minute, in their minuteness they're very weak. The other jivas are also atomic. But because they're tadatma with the will of Krishna and Radharani, therefore they're powerful. Their happiness is unlimited, even though they're minute jivas. So we'll have to end now. Did you have a very quick question? Yeah, that's a very deep question, and we'll discuss that tomorrow. If you could remind me at the beginning of tomorrow's class. Baladev is the head of Rasa Shakti, and he's also a Kanda Guru Tattva. So is there any relationship? Is that the question?
Yes.
Yes, okay, very good. We'll explain that tomorrow. By the mercy of Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur and our Guru Bhakti. So Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Gaur. Srila Gurudev ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai, Sri Jai Vidharma ki jai, Sri Prajnana Prabhu ki jai, Sri Babaji Mahasaya ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Gaur. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Sachinandan Gohari ki jai, Shakshi Gopal Prabhu, you want to sing again? Huh?
Anybody? Who? Otherwise,
Just take care.